throw.
It would be nice to have a bow
throw.
It would be nice to have a bow
throw.
It would be nice to have a bow
throw.
It would be nice to have a bow
throw.
It would be nice to have a bow
throw.
It would be nice to have a bow
throw.
It would be nice to have a bow
throw.
Sipple the snowflake is one old triggered soul with reading glasses sitting on his nose and takes that really blow. Sipple the snowflake deserves a mouthpiece to the face. He says LeBron's the GOAT and Steph will choke. Then he runs to his safe space.
Hey, we gotta be careful here.
He tells us when we speak. But when 10 games air in a day, he thinks that's too many. Oh, Sipple the Snowflake says words like mature. He's a blogger now and an honor too, and also really old.
It's almost as if the good Lord knew what time it was, because the skies have brightened, the sun is out, the field looks immaculate. It's almost as if God knew Steve Sipple is on the radio.
Let's go.
What's up, Sip?
I thought this was going to be like a Creighton, Nebraska baseball take.
Well, it is.
He is at the ballpark.
I'm here at the ballpark where the sun has shone for the first time since early this afternoon. It looks gorgeous out here. You really should come out and enjoy a baseball game. I think you would enjoy this.
You could write a column about it, Sip.
You could.
All right. I've written two columns in the last 24 hours. I think that's enough.
Yeah, but how much about baseball?
Well, no, that's true. I mean, I could. I probably won't.
Hey, at least you're honest.
I could, but I probably
will.
Won't.
Young Jake want to talk about the Husker baseball team? Does he like talking baseball?
No, generally not.
Good.
Why would you say that, Josh?
Well, do you want to talk Husker baseball?
Well, I mean, I would. I don't think I want to go out and write about it, but yeah, I like talking about it.
Okay.
I'm interested in it.
Okay.
I seem to remember a similar, very lukewarm response from you saying about January regarding a basketball team.
And I remember this.
Things kind of turned out pretty well for them, so maybe Sip slow playing Nebraska baseball interest right now will be just the thing to get the Huskers to host a regional this year.
Yeah, well, I'm not really slow. I'm not necessarily slow playing it. It's just I don't think that it was in my it's not really in my schedule, my writing schedule. But I'm not uninterested in it. I was college basketball challenges my interest.
Yeah.
I mean, Nebraska season did get interesting, and I was certainly interested by the time the whole Memphis thing kicked into gear. So, it was, and the tournament ended up being pretty good. The NCAA tournament I'm talking about. So.
No, not for Nebraska, it wasn't.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, but they made it.
True.
Good point.
They just caught a bad kind of draw, I'd say. I did enjoy watching Creighton, John. I did. Particularly the Oregon game, but all that is water under the bridge. What do you guys got for today?
Hey, I got something for you, because you are not the only person that I saw mention intensity in the practice availability window. What was it about the intensity that seemed to jump out of off the field to you and so many others?
Well, I mean, right away, I don't know. I mean, you don't want to – it was just – there was some hard coaching going on. That's the best way to put it. I mean, right away, you noticed that. You noticed Tony White. I mean, Tony White is, I would say, his demeanor is generally affable. I wouldn't say that about every coach I deal with, or every coach anybody deals with. But White's that way. But he was not. He was not affable during the drill that we saw. That a lot of people saw. He was growling. It was quite a growl. He has quite a growl, I would say. And then there was another coach right down the way growling at him growling as well, pretty loud. And so we come to find out that Rule asked the team to turn up the intensity. I really think he must have got into his coach's Satterfield. Was that way. I haven't noticed that about Satterfield in those times. I don't know, what did you say, in 2 years now we've seen, the media group has seen parts of 6 practices. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen what I saw today. I just hadn't seen it previously from any of them. Satterfield the same way. Growl. I loved what Satterfield was doing. They were just doing a pat and go. He didn't want to see the ball on the ground. And 3 times he reiterated that he doesn't want to see the ball on the ground. So it was I thought it was interesting.
Breaking news from Steve Sipple of HuskerOnline.com. Huskers coached by a pack of wild snarling dogs.
Nice.
Wait, and that reminds me, you described another coach as snarling. Who was that? Do you remember?
I do remember, but I can't remember.
Was that in the Frost days? Where someone was snarling? I can't remember.
Yeah, it seems like it. God, you have a good memory. But
we'll have to look that up.
Might have been Frost himself.
You know what? I think it was. That's right. You did. You described Frost as a snarling dog.
Yeah, it was when we had a meal. There's an event.
I remember this. Yes.
There's a radio event. We had that. Is it called Wayuga Steak? Something like that.
I just found it. He was sort of a snarling dog at times. We later dined on steak and mashed potatoes. I liked his demeanor. By the way, Scott Frost was then fired 2 months later. So let's hope
I did like his demeanor. I really did. At that point, I thought, well, you know, maybe he can get this figured out. And then Ireland happened.
Yeah, and then he called an onside kick.
Man, I hope this doesn't turn back like it did. We had a question earlier, Sip. We were discussing a topic. Would a 9-win season here be greeted with the same kind of euphoria and be the kind of, you know, launching pad for success as another 5-win season would be deflating? That makes sense?
Yeah. Really good question. God, I don't know that there'd be euphoria. I just don't know.
And maybe euphoria is not the right word, but you know what I mean when just a building block for success. Because I got to imagine 9 wins around here, people would be like, man, okay, this is what was promised, the second year burst.
Well, that's different than euphoria. Yeah,
yeah. That's why I think I misphrased it.
Yeah. Very positive reaction and hopefulness, meaningful hopefulness. Yeah. I think there'd be a pronounced sense of that. 5 would really be deflating. So I mean, really deflating. Really kind of depressing. Should it be? I don't know. But I think it would be.
So would you describe this, and if this is too strong, feel free to tell me to shut up, but like, is this like kind of a make or break year in that regard then? Like, just in terms of the vibes of this place, it just needs good.
Oh no, I can't attach make or break to anything right now in year 2. I get what you're saying, and I don't want to sound contradictory here.
Yeah.
But no, I would not go make or break in year 2. I think it would be unfair to the staff. Unfair to the entire operation, really. That's too hasty, I think. I mean, if they do, it would be, Josh, I do think it would be deflating if they won 5 games or fewer.
Massively.
Of course it would be deflating, but that doesn't mean necessarily that the rule era is doomed to failure at that point. I wouldn't go there. Too early. Way too early to do that. I didn't do that with Frost. I wouldn't do that with Rule. You got freshman quarterbacks. And I think we all agree. There's a fine line now. And really, there's a fine line in a way. I got to be careful here. I'm thinking out loud. But between 5 and 9, because the game, there's going to be close games, is what I'm saying. Everybody knows it. Rule talks about it all the time. It's one of the best things about Rule that I probably don't emphasize enough is that he gears for close games. And how are we going to win close games? Because we're going to be in them. Because most everybody is. And, it could be 5. You got to kind of be mentally prepared for it, because there could be some close losses that you thought would be wins. The good news is it works the other way. He's got to come out on the – what was Frost's record in one touchdown?
Oh.
Games decided by a touchdown or fewer. I think it was 4-25?
I used to have his number memorized.
4-25. So you got to have some of those swing your way. It's not just luck. I'm not saying that. But there is a fine line. There's still a fine line.
The early talk around the running backs has been, I guess, a little downplayed, or certainly there hasn't been as much glowing returns on the talk around the running backs as there have been maybe around other positions. But, and this may sound weird, but does your confidence, I'm presuming here, but does your confidence in the offensive line depth and experience and coaching, is that enough of a buffer against having overall concerns about what the running game can be?
Just in a pure football sense, you should maybe feel a little more confident in the running game. It's all interlinked, right? Intertwined. The passing game is probably going to be better, right? The receiving core has a chance to be markedly better, and you have a quarterback who can throw it downfield, or say quarterbacks. So you're not going to get loaded up boxes as often, right? You're going to get, you're going to have 7 guys drop it into coverage a lot of the time. It should help your running game, right? Just that should help. Like Sean Callahan was saying today, you gotta be able to win blocking 5-on-4 consistently, because that's what you're going to get a lot of that when 7 guys are dropped back. Again, I did watch the receivers today a little more closely. I really hadn't put my eyes on Naor that much, and not even Banks, but yeah, I think it could be a much better receiving core, because not only because of those two, but because of the experience of Jalen Lloyd now and Jaden Doss and Malachi Coleman. I'm probably missing somebody in there, but then Ja'Cory Barney, his sort of early arrival, he's risen more quickly than maybe people thought. Demetrius Bell, same way. It's pretty good. They look pretty good now. So all that should help the running game. All those things around the running game should help the running game.
Sip, it seems like everybody knows at least one person who was at the scrimmage on Saturday. What did you hear from your little birdies about how people performed?
I heard basically what Rule said today, which is good, because you don't always kind of wonder.
Yeah.
The big thing, Josh, that I heard was their turnovers weren't an issue. And Rule said there was one. And that's good and bad. I mean, because you want the defense only forced 13 turnovers last year.
Yep.
And like Rule said today, you heard the audio, championship level teams are in the 20s usually. So they got to get better that way. But I'd rather, listen, I don't know about you, but if they had a first scrimmage and what we heard was Rule at the podium saying, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good things, but we turned it over five times, you know, or we, you know, we picks were a problem. Oh, God. I mean, talk about deflating. It's going to happen. I mean, it is. It will happen, and maybe it'll happen this Saturday, but it's nice when it doesn't, and it's, I don't know, rule set today. I think, again, you guys got the audio. I think he said there's a sort of an obsession with being on the right side in turnover margin for a change. Minus 17 is remarkably bad. I mean, so if they can be plus in turnovers, now you are talking about a team that probably can win eight games, maybe nine.
The crazy thing is they don't even have to be plus turnover margin. I mean, you can just mitigate the minus 17. Hell, get within the breathing room of break even. And assuming all other things play out as they have in the past, that's probably worth another couple wins, maybe more than that.
It is. It really is. I mean, that's the, you know, you guys say it all the time. I think it's the main, that's what determines wins and losses more than anything. John, I mean, I just like to see him plus. I mean, that shouldn't be too much to ask, but it has been at Nebraska for a long time. You know, you guys got the numbers, but how often Nebraska has been minus in that category is mind-numbing. I still sort of laugh at it. Like, we do these in-depth analysis of why. And some of it's just they just haven't been very good, and teams that aren't very good turn it over, and they don't get turnovers. That's why they're part of the reason they're not very good. I don't really have to do deep dives. But they just have to get – they have to swing that. Can they swing it from minus 17 to plus? That might be too much to ask, but
well,
it would be nice.
Let's do the roll call, kids. Going back, here's my spreadsheet, 2008 to present. 2008, they were minus 11. Josh, keep track.
Okay.
2009, they were plus 6.
That's minus 5 overall.
But in terms of, like, years, right? So it's 1-1 right now.
Oh, I see what you mean.
2010, they were minus 3.
1-2.
2011, 0. They broke even.
1-2-1.
2012, minus 11.
1-3-1.
2013, minus 12.
1-4-1.
2014, minus 2.
1-5-1.
2015, minus 12.
1-6-1.
2016, plus 5. Hashtag Mike Riley.
2-6-1.
2017, minus 7.
2-7-1.
2018, minus 2.
2-9-1.
2019, another tie, 0.
2-9-2.
2020, minus 11.
2-10-2.
2021, minus 5.
2-11-2.
2022, minus 3.
2-12-2.
And last year, minus 17.
2-13-2. That's gross. That's disgusting.
2-13-2, Sip.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those teams were bad. I mean, they weren't terrible teams. The Pelini years weren't terrible.
Yeah.
They won in spite of the turnovers.
They did.
They won in spite of a lot of things.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. I mean, they kind of won despite you. In football, you kind of do that anyway.
Yeah, it's about overcoming things, right?
You win despite yourself a lot of the time. But Nebraska, yeah, that's. I'm glad you did that, John. I mean, it's very informative.
Football, a game of spite.
It certainly has been around here lately.
That's our philosophical take for the day. All right, well. Sip, there's still time to get out to the ballpark. Beautiful night. Now, there's no beer yet. Not that you're drinking anymore, but, you know, by next weekend, they think they'll have beer here at the ballpark. So that might be worth a column.
You know,
just stand outside. All of these Puritan Husker fans who have never had alcohol touch their lips, for the first time they'll be able to drink at a Husker sporting event. It might be fascinating, you know, to see how many cops have to be here to haul away the drunks.
As you guys know, because it's in the intro, I have a lot of bad tapes.
Oh, yeah.
And one, God, my God. I'll tell you, I have a bad hole in my game. Bad. And this beer issue is a huge, I do not understand why it gets so much coverage.
Wow.
I've sort of come to understand it a little, but not. I'm just like, yeah, there's beer at a ballpark. I just can't, like, it, prohibition didn't end here. I mean, it's just beer at a ballpark, okay?
No, but
I mean,
famously, Sip, Nebraska was the state that put prohibition over the top. When we voted prohibition, Nebraska was the last state that needed to ratify, and they did.
Speaking of bad takes.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't, like, I'm just...
But you're up in the press box. You're in the hoity-toity press box.
The breathlessness with which people were getting a hold of me Friday, I was astounded by, like, oh, yeah, there's going to be beer. Okay, cool. By a paragraph. Like, well, who cares?
Most important voice of all, the fans' voice, if they care.
I don't know, dude. I mean, I think some do. But people, listen, I went to the games when, and you guys, I think, did to a certain extent, John, for sure, when they were rolling, you know, under Van Horn and into Anderson era, and the regionals were, you know, they're hot. There's nobody cares there's beer out there at all. I never heard anybody say it. I mean, it wasn't even a topic. And now I've heard people say, God, just wait, if they get a regional up there, then there's beer. It's just going to be crazy. Well, it was crazy anyway. you couldn't get in the ballpark. You know, it was overflow. So I have a hard time with this topic. I don't get why. Now it'll be a big deal at Memorial Stadium if it happens. When it happens, it seems like now when it happens, but. No, this didn't seem like a big deal.
Steve Sippel, 1969, covering Woodstock. Nice. I don't get the whole LSD thing. I don't really understand.
I probably would have said that.
Sam says One Milk Friday with Steve Sippel.
One Milk Friday.
It's not about that. It's just a beer at a ballpark thing. It should be there anyway. You know?
If Sip doesn't get the LSD thing, I can't wait to tell him about Doc Ellis.
Doc Ellis?
I know about Doc Ellis and LSD.
Nice.
Speaking of baseball, Major League, RIP to Whitey Herzog, who is one of the best.
May he rest in peace.
I figured that you would have been a Whitey Herzog guy with all the running those Cardinals teams did. I'm guessing you were a big Whitey Herzog fan.
Oh, God. St. Louis was a big part of my childhood. So, yeah, I mean, I love that era, the Lou Brock, you know, the Lou Brock time and into the late, even, I don't know, I go way back with that. Hell, I go back a long ways.
We know.
He goes back to Enos Slaughter, ladies and gentlemen. Dizzy Dean.
Dean, Dean, Dean.
Sip, have a great rest of your day, and I'm sad to say I won't see you at the ballpark tonight.
Thanks for humoring me. Enjoy the game tonight.
Bye, Sip.
I will. Thank you,
bye-bye.
Sip.
Bye, Sip.
Steve Sippel, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, you just never know.
It's always amazing the things that we can get him to say.
I know. And then the end is always a typical Midwestern goodbye. It's just like 5 minutes of like joke, and then see you later.
Doc Ellis pitched a game on LSD, by the way, Josh.
There you go, baseball.
Dropped acid and threw the ball.
Nice.
Is that a no-hitter? That wasn't a no-hitter, was it?
No, I don't recall.
David Wells threw his perfect game hungover.
Oh.
Yeah.
Max McGee caught the first touchdown in Super Bowl history hungover.
Hungover, yeah, good call, John. Great moments in hangover history.
Great moments in hangover history, exactly.
It was a no-hitter.
Who?
Doc Ellis.
Wow,
oh, it was. Okay. All right.
Good for him.
Man, Nick is so far into baseball now. It's scary.
Yeah. He reminds me of, like, when all of us get into sports and suddenly we just know a bunch of weird stuff, but that happens usually with 12-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hang out, we'll do, like, family gatherings on Rista's side. And there are my little nephews, and they're like 10, and they just talk all the time about the random sports. That's what Nick is like, a 10-year-old boy again.
It's weird. It's like I'm going through puberty of discovering things, because when I was a 10-year-old boy, I've made this comparison before, that was me with music.
There you go. Nick is a boy again. He's a 10-year-old boy going through sports puberty.
Nice.
Congrats to Nick.
All right, we've got more coming up here as both teams out in the field getting
warmed
up.
They're playing baseball, John. They're doing it.
We are playing baseball. I've already filled out my lineup card. I am ready to go.
Nice.
And we'll have coverage for you at the top of the hour. Nick Hanley is here. He is filling out his lineup card.
Oh.
So once his lineup card is filled in, they absolutely have to play.
They're legally obligated.
Legally obligated to play this game.
Yeah.
We will be back with more of Unsportsmanlike Conduct live on 1620 The Zone.
But first, Josh and John here for the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yeah,
the FanDuel
yeah.
Sportsbook?
Yeah, we're counting down to baseball, but we're also counting down to the play-in games. We have the Western games tonight.
Yeah.
We have the Eastern games tomorrow. And, John, if you go to FanDuel.com/1620 right now, you can get in on a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means bonus bets back if that same-game parlay of yours doesn't win on any of the matchups tonight. Of course, as I mentioned, it is the West tonight. We have Lakers-Pelicans. We also have Warriors-Kings. Maybe you like the Lakers to win the game. Maybe you do that with the over on the LeBron assist, maybe the under on the game. Whatever it is, just put them together and go to FanDuel.com/1620.
Yep, same game parlays are a lot of fun because you can parlay a lot of different results from within the same game together. They don't even have to mesh. You can look at points on one team's side and maybe pick the other team to win. It does not matter. Stack those up. That can score bigger payouts. And if you head to FanDuel.com/1620, it even doesn't even matter. You'll get bonus bets back if that same game parlay does not win on this Tuesday night matchup. So visit FanDuel.com/1620 and make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in Iowa, minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.